Blog Talk Radio. had to come up on a check, I had to make it my own. I've been too worried about money, I can't even answer my phone. Cops coming, steady watching and lurking, they wouldn't leave me alone. Young kid trying to get to the top, fuck it, I'm setting the tone. Yeah, I just came through the flex on the nigga. Yeah, you talking that shit, then I'm pulling my trigger. Yeah, was thinking a million, but now I'm bigger. Back to the crib, now she flowing like a river. Yeah, I just came through the flex. I just came through the flex on the nigga. Yeah, I just came through the flex. Yeah, I just came through the flex on the nigga. Need 100 bands stuffed in my pocket, young cocky little nigga. Bust a couple shots, hide in his body, get rid of the witness. I know the plug, he serving that wide, we came from the trenches. Starting fine, no six man, we don't fuck with the benches. Hop in the rock, skirt out the lot, screaming, let's get it. Me and my brothers, we walk in the party and then we get litty. Iced out with a gold, but taking the middle of winter. Saying fuck that little nigga. I had to come up on a check, I had to make it my own. I've been too worried about money, I can't even answer my phone. Cops coming, steady watching and lurking, they wouldn't leave me alone. Young kid trying to get to the top, fuck it, I'm setting the tone. Yeah, I just came through the flex on the nigga. Yeah, you talking that shit, then I'm pulling my trigger. Yeah, was thinking a million, but now I'm bigger. Back to the crib, now she flowing like a river. Yeah. I just came through the flex. I just came through the flex on the nigga. Yeah, I just came through the flex. Yeah, I just came through the flex on the nigga. Kid Griffey jumping up at the porch at the running, go get it. Young nigga taking over the city, you know that I'm with it. Hop on the stage, screaming my name, she showing the city. Hop in the whip, making some moves, and handle my business. Yeah, I had to stack it and flip it. I had to count up 100 and hit on my man and go spin it. Yeah, she be relieving my tension. She wanna know how to whip it. So I got it in the kitchen. I had to come up on a check, I had to make it my own. I've been too worried about money, I can't even answer my phone. Cops coming, steady watching and lurking, they wouldn't leave me alone. Young kid trying to get to the top, fuck it, I'm setting the tone. Yeah, I just came through the flex on the nigga. Yeah, you talking that shit, then I'm pulling my trigger. Was thinking a million, but now I'm bigger. Back to the crib, now she flowing like a river. Yeah. I just came through the flex. I just came through the flex on the nigga. Yeah, I just came through the flex. Yeah. I just came through the flex on the nigga.
Yo, how y'all feeling, man? I've been fucking missing the radio, the air. I've been missing it. It's your favorite host with the Butter Toast Radio Rail, and I am back. You know, it's been a hot little minute since I've been on the air, man. I've just been super busy with a bunch of stuff. But, man, I'm back, man, here on OG Radio. It's your boy, you know what I'm saying? Today's episode, man, you know, been the hip-hop community needed what's been going on lately. What's been going on lately is a lot of dissing amongst artists. Some of it I agree with, some of it I don't. You know, some of it's been weak as hell, but I'm going to dive into all that shit. Now, we as the audience, we as the fans, the consumers of these people, who of artists that dish out the music for us to listen to, we labeled three artists as the big three. We labeled J. Cole, Kendrick, and Drake as the big three, right? They didn't label themselves as the big three. We did this shit. We feel like of this era, this generation, they are the top dogs, the top dominant lyricists, the top dominant artists of this decade. You know, I would have said Lil Wayne, but I also had to understand Lil Wayne has been in this game for a long time. And he's still top fucking, he's still a top dog, you know what I'm saying? Top motherfucker. But he had his time, you know? And now, you know, he passed the torch off to Drake, in my opinion. Now, my opinion of Drake, when I get into these type of arguments about rappers and singers and stuff, my opinion of Drake is he's not a rapper to me. He's not, he can rap, but he's not a rapper. To me, he's labeled as an R&B artist who can still happen rap. and people be trying to dog him about ghostwriters and shit. I don't know if he has ghostwriters. Don't really give a fuck because, you know, when it comes to R&B music and any other type of shit, they have ghostwriters. You know, it's all about what can I write? What can I make? What type of song can I make? What type of artist should I give this to for them to make this shit pop? You know what I'm saying? Regardless if Drake has ghostwriters or not, his songs are all top tier of all time. That last album he dropped, that's a classic. It's a classic album. He had about 10 to 12 songs on the Billboard Hot 100. What fucking artists do that? The nigga surpassed Mike. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, let's get into the beef. Now, the first beef I'm going to talk about is where it all started from. I really don't know. I don't really get into what the fuck been going on. I just, you know, so happened to open my phone to see shit. But, you know, Drake and Future. First of all, I want to say this about Drake. When it comes to beefing with Drake, Drake is like 150 and 0. The man ain't lost a beef, in my opinion, yet. You know what I'm saying? And it's so crazy that Drake do a lot of songs with a lot of artists and motherfuckers turn around and beef. You know what I'm saying? Like the little beef he had with Chris Brown, weird, because they done songs together. And then they calmed the beef with that record they put out last year or the year before. You know, whatever. Future and Drake did a whole fucking album together. And then they beef. It's fucking weird. But anyway, Kendrick Lamar was featured on a song called Like That on Future's album with Metro Boomin called We Don't Trust You. Future and Metro, you know, came at Drake. Kendrick and J. Cole, you know what I'm saying? The most infamous bar, I guess people would say, is when Kendrick said, motherfuck the big three, I'm big me, some shit like that, you know. And people went crazy. So guess who responded? Mr. J. Cole. J. Cole dropped a album called Might Delete Later. And that's funny because the nigga deleted a specific track later. So the album, to me, it was all right. It wasn't, you know, as, you know, it was your typical J. Cole album to me. But he did a song, the last track, track number 12, called 7-Minute Drill. Number one, it wasn't even fucking 7 minutes. It was like 4 minutes or something. So why would you name this track 7-Minute Drill? And this track was a response to what Kendrick Lamar said on that verse. Again, J. Cole did an entire track. Kendrick K. Dot did a verse. Right? J. Cole is probably one of the most top-tier cold-blooded lyricists of all time. And he came out with the weakest fucking diss of all time. It was weak. It was trash. It was fucking trash. You know what I'm saying? And he even admit that it was trash. And most people don't go against the grain and battle Kendrick Lamar. It's just like, it's suicide, lyrical suicide. It's like going against Eminem. You don't want to do that. I don't even know why Eminem or why Benzino keeps going to Eminem. But I'll get into that beef in a little bit. But specifically, I want to get on Drake, Kendrick, J. Cole, the big three. So now Kendrick is up 1-0 against K. Dot, J. Cole. Drake, J. Cole, they not really beefing. But Drake comes out with a track. Basically responding to K-Dot. And I will say this. Never fucking misses. I'm going to say it again. Drake never fucking misses. Drake fucking, he bodied that track. You know, he talked about basically, J. Cole dropping that motherfucking diss track, and it was weak as hell. And he responded to K. Dot. And he was talking about, now I'm adding another rapper, he was talking about Rick Ross. For some odd reason, Drake and Rick Ross is beefing. But this beef, to me, is stupid. It's rich nigga shit beef. It's fucking dumb, you know what I'm saying? But I understand this is, you know what I'm saying? I don't consider this shit between K. Dot, J. Cole, well, J. Cole apologized to Kendrick. Now we can throw him out. But this day and age, these little quote-unquote diss tracks to me aren't diss tracks. Now, granted, I think Drake, that was a diss track. I could put that up there as the diss track. But for me, a diss track would be songs like Dre Day, songs like Real Motherfucking G's by Eazy-E, fucking Hit 'Em Up by Tupac. You know what I'm saying? Shit like that. But to me, those are diss tracks. Because it was raw, rugged, uncut, anything type of goals type track songs and shit. You know what I'm saying? But this shit between Drake and Rick Ross, rich nigga dumb shit. Now, Rick Ross got on Instagram, was talking his bullshit, talking to him. Drake needed to buy Birdman a house and yada, yada, yada. His shit went to closure, yada, yada, yada. And then he said something very idiotic. The nigga said, yo, Drizzy, I got more money than you. Bro, you do not have more money than fucking Drake, all right? I looked at the Forbes list, and guess what? Rick Ross' net worth in the Forbes is 150 mil. Drake's net worth, 250 mil. So now this beef is null and voided, bro. It's fucking dumb. So Rick Ross created a track and responded to Drake. To me, it was weak as hell. It was fucking trash. It was god-awful. Now, I will say that now moving forward, I will say that because niggas ain't been relevant in so long, they do shit like this. So it makes me feel like these niggas really be in cahoots with each other, doing shit like this to boost album sales when it gets ready to, you know, come out, and boost tour sales when motherfuckers is on tour. Now, Rick Ross may be in the middle of creating a project where he needed some fucking buzz. So guess who's hot? Guess who never fell off? Drake. So let me beef with this nigga, even though we've been cool for so long. You know what I'm saying? Bodied, Stay Scheming. Don't track with fucking Rick Ross. Drake bodied that shit. Rick Ross and fucking French Montana's verses didn't even need to be on that motherfucker. But anyway, Rick Ross responded, and that shit was weak as hell. It was god fucking awful. So now, light skin, 1-0 against the whole fucking thing. Now people keep saying, "Oh well, K Dot." Okay, yeah, I get it, but he only had a verse in the entire song. So therefore, for me, yes, what he said was hard. But Drake hit a whole lot of shit. He had a track and talked about a whole bunch of shit. 1-0 Drake against Rick Ross and K-Dot. People might fight me on that. That's fine. That's cool. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. But to me, K-Dot lost because it was only a verse. Now, if he come out with a full song, hey, Kendrick, you got it. But right now, the singing nigga, he got it. The same way he made Meek Mill fall, like drastically fall, like niggas ain't even fucking with Meek like that. On top of this Diddy allegations, that's another fucking story, another time, another day, another podcast on that situation. So probably next week I will talk about Diddy situations. But anyway, Drake is winning, right? So off to that beef. And before I get to the next the other artist, I want to get into the battle rap beef. Now, there's two diss records in the battle rap world, Hitman Holla and Easy Block the Captain. Now, if everybody remembers and is known in battle and knows about battle rap, they had a battle a couple years ago, and I ain't going to lie, Hitman is the GOAT. He's the fucking GOAT. But he lost to me in my eyes 2-1. He lost. You know what I'm saying? He lost that battle. Motherfuckers booed him. The thing with Hitman was he didn't bring out old Hitman. He was trying to talk about money shit. Niggas don't want to hear that shit in no battle rap. But anyway, they was talking about dropping diss records against each other. Now, Hitman, he's known for rapping. He's known, you know, hardcore battle rapping and shit. He had his track against Easy, the Block Captain, and yo, Hitman 1-0. He fucking went off. Killed it. Legendary bar. Easy responded, but it was trash. To me, Easy the Block Captain is really just a battle rapper. He shouldn't even, he could rap, but what he was saying in his response to the diss track, it wasn't really, it didn't really, none of the bars really stood out to me. You know, it was kind of trash. But we got a caller. Oh, caller just went away. All right, that's fine. But anyway, Easy the Block Captain, he didn't really hit hard, you know what I'm saying, with what he was coming back with. The track, I can't remember what Hitman's track was, but Easy's response was called Hey Cinnamon. He had a couple bars about Cinnamon, that was it. You know, he kind of like tried to use it in the hook, but like it was god awful. It was fucking trash. So 1-0 Hitman. Hitman got his look back from losing the battle rap. 1-0 Hitman. Now we'll move off Hitman and Easy. Hold on, y'all. Hold on. Got a caller, and I know who it is. Yo, what up?
Man, same old chilling, chilling.
It's the one and only AK in the building, y'all.
What up with it, man? What up, people, man? Y'all know who it is. Man, I'm just dropping in, man. You know, I had to show you some love, man. Glad you're back on the air, man, you know, doing your thing. And I hear you talking about these battle raps, man. So, yeah, it's a lot going on with them battle rap situations. And I feel like the R&B guys, like, I don't know. I don't put Chris Brown in the normal R&B guys because he put out a lot of, like, rap mixtapes that was, like, I ain't gonna lie, like, two of them joints was classics. Like, like, Boy in Detention and Fan of a Fan, I still hit rock with
in
him,
my
even though he had Tiger on it.
Too, yeah, it was hard.
Even though he had Tiger on it, I was like, I could deal with Tiger to get to Breezy first, but I just feel
right.
Bad that, I don't feel bad, but I just feel like, Quavo, they ain't his lane. They ain't his lane to do this track. They party guys. They like turn up guys. They ain't really with that battle rap beef type situation. So it's kind of like
not at all, man. Not
they
got to
they
got
to
kind of
be real. Like they got to send subliminal shots to like whoever they going at, and then
right.
It's almost like it's like Breezy built for that. Like he got bar, he built for that. So I feel like, you know, whatever the beef was, it is. And I just feel like in a rap situation, nah, you ain't finna deal with
Breezy
like that. Yeah, it was a bad look. Go ahead.
What killed me is that he used Takeoff's voice, you know, for the hook. And it's
you didn't need a hook.
You didn't need a hook.
Nah.
And it proved Chris Brown's point. Like, you ain't nothing without your family. Like Takeoff's voice.
And I do respect Breezy didn't say nothing like disrespectful about Takeoff. He was just like, he's the real one out of y'all.
He saluted.
Like, he was like, I salute him. He the real one out of all y'all. But but he kind of just coming at, like, you know what I'm saying, Quavo, like, man, you the lame out the group. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he came
so
out.
I think killed him. And then I feel like with the Drake situation, yeah, he did. And the Drake and the Ross situation, it's like, for me, it's like back in the day, you used to know what guys was beefing about and what the beef was.
Right.
Like, you literally understood, like, okay, I know why they're making diss tracks about each other. But with this Rick Ross and Drake, whoever else, Kendrick, like, I honestly was disappointed at Cole, even though Cole's still one of my top three favorite rappers,
man,
but I feel like
highly disappointed.
He like he hurt. He hurt his image with me, but I feel like everybody knew that this was a strictly just a hip hop beef, like just a real like, hey, this is diss tracks. We both know we ain't finna run up on each other, do nothing crazy. I feel like for the sport, I don't know what made J. Cole like, nah, I don't want none. I don't know what, you know what I'm saying? It was almost like he did it, and then it was almost like, nah, I don't want it.
Yeah.
He almost let his own consciousness like get in the way of what all the fans really want. Because to be honest, the man been shooting subliminal shots at people for the longest
for years.
But I think it's because it was like all his shots been subliminal, and that he was never the person to start it. I think it was just like, I guess how he pushed it out, like how it came out. It came out like it was something more than just beef, just like some over a record. So I think that's kind of why he did kind of back out. But my thing is this, man, look, you can have a private conversation with Kendrick and be like, bro, you know what I'm saying? You know how I respect you, bro. It's just, this is what battle rap is. And I'm pretty sure Kendrick would have been like, man, I still rock with you, bro. I know this is just for the fans. And I think if Cole never like apologizes, I think we get a full song. Like, Kendrick give us a full song. Because I feel like Drake ain't that type of – Drake is that type of guy, but I feel like I think this would have been more appealing for the fans to have Cole and Kendrick go at it and then for them to, like,
versus
squash
Drake,
it and finally give us – I think, like, for me, you know me, I think on business level, I think they could have, like, rolled this little disc, like, this back-and-forth competition out and then afterwards squashed it, like, on some, all right, man, we cool, bro, it was for the fans, whatever – and give us that mixtape or give us that album, and I guarantee you, they would have oversold everything. You know what I'm saying? Even if it was a situation where Drake get, like, little butthurt because Cole and Kendrick, you know what I'm saying, went out and put out an album, and everybody would have been, like, overly just going crazy over it because I feel like, Cole and Drake did a song together. That's cool. Y'all been rocking with each other. But everybody and their mama been waiting on that Cole and that Kendrick. Like even if it's like to like a mixtape, if they did like a mixtape like together, like you know, so how Lil Wayne did the mixtape with Joel Santana, or you know what I'm saying? Like
exactly,
like how Chris Brown was doing mixtapes with Tiger. If they would have did
Tiger,
something like that, I guarantee you, that would have been the hottest project to ever come out.
Like I said earlier, the thing is that we as the consumers, we label Drake, Kendrick, and J. Cole as the big three. It never came out of their mouth. You know, we labeled them, and they kind of took it and ran it. And Kendrick was like, nah, fuck a big three. It's me. Like, fuck what y'all talking about. But
and really, Cole sent the shot, too. He said, it's the big three, me, K-Dot, and Drizzy. But I feel like Muhammad Ali, everybody know what that means. He's like, yeah, we the big three, but I'm the king around here. I'm like, yeah, I give y'all props, but y'all know when it comes to this, y'all ain't fucking with me. And I feel like Kendrick was like, okay, that's how you feel? All right, cool.
Right. And they consider themselves, Mike Prince and James Brown, I believe?
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm like, man,
Drake,
this was a perfect. And I ain't
Drake's response was cold.
I mean,
cold.
Don't get me wrong. It was like I'm not even like geeked up on it. It was decent. He did what he needed to do. But I feel like everybody coming at Drake, and it was like some of that stuff was like, like for me it was like I ain't gonna lie. Drake's comeback didn't really like it didn't hit like that. Like it didn't hit like Kendrick's hit, or it didn't hit like Cole's hit. It was like, all right, it was for the culture. You did what you were supposed to do.
Right.
And even like
because,
Rick Ross, I didn't even know Rick Ross had dropped a diss. And that was just super
was
weird. I'm like, bro, y'all been on
it
so
was,
many tracks together.
Exactly.
And it was like, I couldn't even explain. Like I said, when I said at the beginning, I said, you don't even know what they beefing over. It's like you don't even know what Rick Ross and Drake even beefing over. It's like,
right.
It's
it was
like,
some rich nigga shit to me. Like when Rick Ross got on Instagram and started talking his shit, like I was saying earlier, he was talking about, oh, I got more money than you, Drizzy, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, oh, y'all beefing about rich nigga shit. And I'm like, and then I went to Forbes list and saw what they made. That boy Drake makes $100 million more than Rick Ross. So like that for Rick Ross to say that he made more money was dumb as hell. Like, first of all, no you don't. Because for one, your tour numbers don't be like, it ain't like that. Your album numbers are never like that. Like
never.
You've been putting out a lot of albums since your hottest shit, Port of Miami, but it ain't hit like that. Drake has albums that he's been put out that's been hitting consistently. His tours have been hitting consistently. So for me, their beef is just a boost. Drake's on tour right now. It's to boost his numbers tour-wise. And I think Rick Ross got something coming out. He's probably just going to promote that. But, like, their beef is null and voided for me. Like,
it wasn't even real.
Trash.
And then to be honest, Drake got the upper hand on the Rick Ross situation because all his Rick Ross hottest tracks got Drake on it. If you really sit down and think about it, all his hottest tracks got Drake. If you like, for real, that's all I'm thinking. Like, if anything, that's Drake. I mean, Rick Ross, you shouldn't even say nothing about Drake because Drake got so much over you. I'm like, it is what it is. I'm like,
And I ain't gonna lie. Drake should be on that Soulja Boy shit. Like, y'all niggas wouldn't be shit without me type shit. Because if you really
he could say that, because
motherfuckers really got hotter when they linked up with Drake. I'll take Lil Durk for it. Lil Durk was hot, but when he did that little song with Drake, it put him in another level. You know, so now we look at Lil Durk in a different light. Like, damn, Durk is really one of the ones. He did a song with Drake. Like, he solidified him.
And that boosts him up in Chicago.
That's how I feel about what anybody.
My thing is with that, and with collabs, Cole gave Dirk a Grammy. Cole helped Dirk get a Grammy and put him in that new bracket. You know what I'm saying? Like when it comes to Chicago,
exactly.
It's like Dirk, like that guy. Like you mentioned Chicago, they gonna mention Dirk first. Why?
Exactly.
Because he got the song with Drake and Cole.
If anybody knows anybody about the Chicago artists of like our time, Dirk and Keith wasn't really allowed at the Grammys. They was not allowed at the Grammys for the longest. Now he did his shit with Cole. Bam! Now you got a fucking Grammy. You know, Drake did another song together, he would have got a Grammy.
Yeah, but it's like look at what he like got to, because you already see like for Cole and Drake, they like. It pushes them up to another level because it's like everybody run a Cole. Because remember, Cole was killing the features. So everybody who got a feature from Drake, I mean from Cole, they did crazy numbers. Everybody got a feature from Drake, same thing. So it's like in that move, I see why they did do that tour together. Because it was like, yo, we the two biggest niggas out here. Every time we jump on somebody's shit, and they were the ones that were always reaching back to the guys who wasn't really like plug like that or like wasn't on that level, and they was bringing them up because I mean Drake did that to Lil Baby. He did it because I ain't know nothing about no Lil Baby until Drake. He was on that song with Drake. I ain't really know too much about the Baby until he got on that joint with J. Cole. I'm like, who is dude? I literally started listening to the Baby because he was on that joint with J. Cole. I'm like, I don't know who this nigga is, but he definitely doing his thing. So on that note, I feel him on that. But the only people that got a legit beef is Kendrick and Cole and Drake because it's almost like who's the best MC, Biggie, Jay-Z, or Nas. It's in that same situation. It's just the modern version of it. And I don't think it would never got to where it is now. Like never got to the Tupac and Biggie joint. I don't think it would ever got there. Because it's love between them. It's like they understand the culture and they understand why they giving us them bars. But yeah, man, I was like, okay. That's the only thing that like, kind of give me a demerit with Cole is he apologized. If he ain't never apologized, bro, I'd be like, yep, that's what we need. So
exactly.
Yeah.
And I ain't going to lie, Kendrick is the best of the best. He's up there. He's very, you know, could be debatable on somebody's Mount Rushmore. But the thing with Kendrick is he don't have enough out there. You know what I'm saying? He drops like every, what, once every 5-6 years. You know what I'm saying? He probably got
Kendrick.
Four, yeah.
Kendrick playing
hand and
seek. I don't know what he be up.
Yeah, you know, he got like four projects I could think of off the top of my head. He got To Pimp a Butterfly. He got the one he just did a couple years ago. He got what's the other one with Drake, the poetic that he did the Poetic Justice on, whatever that album was.
Yeah.
And then the little stuff he did to like two other little albums. So it was like
Untitled, unlisted album, yeah.
You know? Yeah, you know, and then J. Cole, he got a lot of albums, but some of them albums was like, eh, and some of them was great. And then Drake has just been consistent ever since he came out. You know,
yeah.
So the biggest to me.
And then Drake been consistent, and he know what crowd to deal with, what crowd to, like, really lock in on.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So it's
that
like
crossover
Drake is a master at understanding the best way to, A, get money, and, B, get the right fans to rock with him. So
exactly.
I always know Drake's a genius when it came to that, and his like how he disses people ain't like just, oh, I'm just gonna hit you with some bars. He gonna like make funny posts on like Instagram and shit. He gonna he gonna do more than just say something funny. Kind of like
also
how 50 is. 50 ain't gonna like go in the booth no more. 50 just gonna clown you on social media and make it hurt worse.
Because he ain't got it.
Because the way
he ain't got
a rap no more. But it's just, I'm saying Drake is kind of in that same way where he feel like, man, I can make you hurt. I guess make his thing worse by, you know, post something on social media. And then it's like, and it's crazy because most of these artists now, it's like, to be honest, it's almost like they even scared to say something because it's like, whatever's going on with Diddy and a lot of motherfuckers connected to him. Motherfuckers can't say anything or post pictures with this nigga. Like, it's ultra weird. Like, and I don't even know and it's like, to see all that stuff go down with whatever going on with Diddy, it's like, yo, I can kind of believe it. Like, because, like, if you, like,
but
I ain't going to say I paid attention, but it's like, if you actually sit and think about some of the stuff he said or, like, just watch interviews from him back in the day, it's like, man, what?
Wow.
Like,
exactly.
I literally, if you sit
people,
think about it.
I don't know why
sit,
people are surprised about it because, you know,
I'm not.
If you watch a lot of artists, they be talking about Diddy's parties. Like, oh, man, there's a party, and then there's a Diddy party. Like, I don't be wanting to go to Diddy parties. Like, you know, Columbus Short did an interview not too long ago about Diddy hitting him up, like, 1-2 in the morning talking about come over.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, he did that to a lot of artists.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What the fuck you on, bro?
Just yeah, like the one where he was on, I don't know if it was VH1 or whatever like that, and he was just like in his own office. And he was like, oh, I can do what I want. I can do what I want. I can do what I want. What's the next challenge? I can make people do what I want. And it was like right there, it's like, dude, wait, what you mean you can get people to do what you want? And it's like,
exactly.
Nah, bro, it's something to that. Like, you ain't just in your office, like, going crazy and screaming, telling me I can do
exactly
what I want. It's like,
all the niggas walk for cheesecake.
Yeah, that's what
mean.
I was saying. Like,
exactly.
Bro, this nigga make y'all walk for a record deal. Like, y'all was already signed a Bad Boy. And then he was, and he was talking about that Bad Boy flavor cam. Like, that shit real. Like, dude, that's too much.
Yeah.
It's like, when you go back and look at the one we had Justin Bieber, and he was like 16 or 15, and the man was like, yeah, for the next 24 hours, you know, I ain't his legal guardian, but I got it for the next 24 hours. It's like, wait, what?
Right.
And it's like,
shit, weird.
And ain't none of that, like, Photoshopped, ain't none of that, like, video edited. That is, like, actual footage of this man just speaking. It's
exactly.
Like, and you just got to look around like, yeah.
The funniest interview, well, the funniest recording was Diddy, Jadakiss, Fabulous, and Movado.
I thought you were talking about with Kevin Hart and it was at the Diddy's mansion. But no.
Oh, yeah.
The Drink Champ one was hilarious. The Drink Champ one was hilarious because you can look, at Fab and Jada's face like, yo, what this nigga on,
right,
bro?
Like, nigga, what? Like, Diddy kept trying to have, like, why you don't party with me? Like, why don't you spend your birthday with me? Like, whoa, what? And then 50 Cent make it no better, and he's like, this nigga told me he wanted to take me shopping.
Man, nigga, I ain't no bitch. I was like, yeah. And it's like, with that, I was just sitting there like, all the stuff's coming out now. I just had to shake my head like, to be honest, I can believe it. It's like, I ain't trying to be funny, but it's like, if you seriously was like, man, look at it, like, man, you can believe it. And it's like, that's messed up that it is like that, but hey.
Exactly. Then another thing I want to hit on, going back to Drizzy, how people be talking about how Drake be having ghostwriters. People forget Drake is really not a rapper. Drake is an artist. He's not a rapper. He came out, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He's still singing. He's not a rapper. He just so happens to rap. But he's an R&B artist. So whether some of that shit was ghostwritten or not, that man still makes whatever the fuck song cold as hell, whether it was his verse or not.
And everybody get they cut, whoever helped him on the track. And I'm like, I had to tell somebody, I said, y'all don't know the history of rap then, because Ice Cube, if y'all saying Ice Cube is the greatest, they saying NWA is the greatest group, man, the song they made. I said, no, you need to say Ice Cube.
It's because of Ice Cube,
Ice Cube wrote everything. Ice Cube basically created Easy. You got to, like, they created Easy because Easy was like, I'm putting the money up, so I'm going to get on the track. And they were like, all right, you say this then. So, like, for me, I feel like Ice Cube don't get his credit because Ice Cube, if it weren't for Ice Cube, was NWA going to be hot if somebody else was writing their shit? So people talking about ghostwriters, like, Ice Cube was literally like, nigga, I'm NWA. He was just a smart one. Like, all right, I'm writing all these songs, but Easy getting all the money. Like, not as stupid. Like, I ain't retarded.
He proved that with, what was that diss song? He proved that with
No Vaseline.
He killed that with
No Vaseline. It just so happened the only person that got smart was Dre, because him and Dre kind of.
That was the only nigga that got smart. Yeah.
After that, I guess him. He's got, I remember, not in the movie, but in the like a documentary situation. Cube said like, yeah, man, you know, after I did No Vaseline, some other shit, like some months after, like they got done with their beef, like. They was after they got done like fighting with each other, like after they got Cube, well, that they got Ice Cube, with Ice Cube and them getting to it with, you know, whatever. It said he finally met up with Dre, and Dre actually was like, yeah, man, something don't feel right with these contracts. And Cube was like, man, I ain't trying to break up the joint. It's just, I just want equal. Like, we all, you know what I'm saying? And Cube was like, somebody always taking a pay cut because of somebody else, but. When I'm looking at it, somebody eating and we not. He like, man, forget that. It took Cube to leave and be the bad guy for somebody to realize, like, damn, we are getting fucked. And that's sad because it happened to Easy. And it's like, everything, all that had to happen before y'all realized that y'all was getting done dirty. And then for Suge still try to do them
real
dirty.
The disses of today, to me, ain't really disses. To me, what they doing now is just low-key promoting whatever the fuck the artist is doing.
Real
themselves. To me was the No Vaseline, the Dre days, the Real Motherfucker G's, you know, the Hit 'Em Up.
Tupac that joint.
Those was fucking disses.
Yeah. I even tell people one of my favorite disses was when Beanie Siegel and was the Jadakiss going at each other.
And Beanie
said that wasn't even his beef. He was just like, man, I was on the rock, and you know how they was dissing, whatever they was dissing, it just went like that. And it was like something was said on the track, and they was like,
right.
Ms. Bleak actually said, he said it was because of him that started that Jadakiss and Beans beef. Beans was just like, it stayed on wax because I seen Jada in the club. Like a week after I dropped mine, and then we both did one more, and then that was it. He said, that's all we did. After that, it was He was like, man, Benz was like, I wasn't trying to fight this nigga outside the club. But he was like, I kept that strictly studio. You know what I'm saying? He was like, that's what it was. It was strictly a studio thing. He was like, man, after that, he's like, yeah, we kind of, you know, we would say our whatever's back and forth, like, but it was just strictly on wax. He like, once I realized that we was like, we wasn't really that little, you know, beef or that little battle was over with, it was over with.
He was right. Like, so to me, I look at all the quote-unquote beefs right now besides Chris and Quavo. I look at it all as just friendly competition,
mm-hmm.
which is needed in the hip-hop community. Everybody needs a friendly competition. It's like everybody too clicked up and friendly, you know what I'm saying? So you need that competition. You know, it's like lyrical suicide, like going against Eminem or somebody, you know what I'm saying? You don't do shit like that.
Yeah,
but like
but anybody
about,
else
again,
is kind of like, all right, man, shoot, take a shot at somebody.
You know, yeah,
even
you
like
know,
even Big Sean, I'm like, shit, take a shot, bro.
And
Big Sean, take a shot.
He's lyrical. Big Sean should to me, he's one of the underrated. Just like I put him in the same category as Fabulous. Fabulous is underrated.
Yeah,
Big Sean is underrated.
Like soul tape mixed, like this. All of the soul tapes are classic.
All the soul tapes.
Like people, like I be like, y'all, I don't really rock with the soul tape like that. Like all the fast
exactly.
mixed, like from all the soul tape joints, and I think it was something else that he had a run with. The Freddie versus Jason, him and Jadakiss, that was a classic.
That was cold.
Like,
that was definitely classic.
Like, that was a classic. I'm like, and then now, like, all, like, the little freestyles Fab been dropping, classics. And I was like, I put in the comment section, I don't know where it was. I was like, this nigga Fab ain't missed in, I don't know how long, in some years. And they was like, what you mean? I said, y'all ain't heard none of this man freestyles? I said, Fab ain't missed in summer.
He never misses. He's so underrated.
I was like, bro, that's. I was like, y'all don't really like, y'all don't like, when he did that, him and Dave East did that Can't Stop the Rain joint. I had to play it for one of my guys, and they was just sitting there looking at me like, bro, where did you find this? I was like, y'all ain't me, bro. Y'all ain't me.
Exactly.
They just went crazy on that. And it was like, cool, but then it's like, you hit guys like the battle rap world. Like, I used to be hard into the URL and all that, and there's so many rap battle leagues now, it's kind of like it's the water diluted. It's almost like everybody got their own little league, and it's like, what's the top? What's the league to say, all right, man, if you get on this, you made it. It used to be with Smack and URL. Now it's like them guys ain't got enough money to where they wouldn't start their own league, and it's like,
exactly.
It ain't the same no
Smack
more.
Was kind of, you know, fucking people over, but like, yeah, I like what Hitman Holla was doing with Bags of Bodies. I like what John the Don is doing with Bullpen, you know, like it's amazing, you know. And like top tier people in battle rap, for me, for GOATs, I put K-Shine up there, I put Hitman up there. I definitely Charlie Clips is number one. Like can't nobody
Clips
over Charlie at all. Nobody.
Mm.
Some of these other people be trying to Easy the Block Captain was on a good wave until he ran into Geechee Gotti. When he ran into Geechee and he talked about him and fucking Remy, it was a wrap.
Yeah.
It was a wrap. Like, there's no way that he could he could ever come back from. Like, I think his next top battle is with Clips, I think. But it's like, bro,
maybe
nothing you could say. Geechee put you down, bro.
Yeah, and then some guys just lost it because they was just doing too much. Like, Goods, he was decent, but then it was like,
he lost it,
bro.
You
like, because it's like, bro, you it's like, first it used to be like kind of a joke, like when you was drinking the Henny, he was getting yours. Now it was like, you was drinking so much to where your battles used to just be, it just sound bad. I'm like, all right, bro, take you a shot. Like, use the bottle with just like you know what I'm saying, like a prop, but it was like you was too deep in the bottle where you was jagging money. And then Chess was just, I don't know what happened. Chess
fell
off so bad.
Way off. Murder Chess
fell off.
Way off.
Cassidy Cassidy fell off because he was still trying to. It was almost like, you know, when Melly Mel made that diss track. That's what I felt like.
Oh my
how Cassidy
God.
Was. It was like Cassidy was stuck in his own little world and his own little. You know what I'm saying? His own whatever year
exactly.
that he was the hot guy. He stayed in that year lyrically and never evolved. It's like, bro, you got to. Got to evolve the time to
you
get new guys to rock with you, but he never did that. And I felt like when he tried to do what he was doing, and I forgot who he was battling. I think he was battling Hitman, and Hitman just destroyed this man. Like
Hitman destroyed Cassidy.
And I'm like, and my thing was, I was hurt because I remember the Cassidy that took Freeway out, but I realized Freeway wasn't no battle rapper, so it's kind of like. You know what
right.
I'm saying? It wasn't right. It was like almost like they set it. Almost like they set him up. It was almost like they set, you know, Freeway up to boost up Cassidy. Like, oh yeah, like to build this myth up. And I feel like that wasn't cool because if like if it's a battle rap, put in the battle rap scene. If y'all saying it's a
right.
battle rap, it's like are y'all doing it with? It's like you almost got to set the standard. It's almost like how you know what I'm saying when you a boxer and. You know who they want to win because of the clauses that's in the battle or that's in the fight that
right.
they got about that. Whether it's
exactly.
a weight requirement or a glove size, it's almost like with battle rap. It's like, oh, we in this setting, oh, you can't use no beat or we only using beats. It's like, wait a minute, battle rap, you ain't never used no beat. So don't get me
exactly.
wrong, that's cool. Y'all want to rap over a beat, but it's like battle rap has never been rapping over a beat. So it's like almost like, what
exactly.
are we doing? Like
there's
giving
one
person an advantage.
Exactly. There's one battle I think is needed for the coaching, and that's Hitman versus Geechee Gotti. That needs to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that one really needs to happen to solidify, you know, Hitman's GOAT status or Geechee Gotti's GOAT status. Because I put him up there on the route, Mount Rushmore. Like, he made his way. Arsenal had his time, but then he kind of fell off.
Arsenal definitely
had
his time.
But, like, you know. And then for the women, like, they making them names. Like, Vixen, the assassin, she got her name.
Yeah.
She got Jazz.
Yeah.
My fan favorite, because I personally know her now per Twitter. Like, we got real cool on Twitter. Yoshi G, she needs to work on her shit.
I follow her, too.
But
I think she need to just lock in a little bit
shout
more.
Shout out to Yoshi G. Because we've been, like, she really fucks with her fans. Like, I appreciate that she responds to people like me and other people. Like, I fuck with her. And, you know, I told her the other day, I'm like, yo, your next battle, you should wear a Yoshi shirt. Like, the Yoshi character, the you know, you should wear that shirt and use it as a line in one of your battles. And you should kill it. You should definitely fucking kill it. And she was like, you know what?
And
I should. But first, I want to create this rap game real quick. I'm like, I mean, that's cool. But, you know, you need to start coming at people. You know, the top girl dogs out here. You come at them.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like they got to start doing that. And Cause I feel like some of these, like, now it's like, I don't be, it like, the hype of battle rap ain't even like it used to be because it's these, I used to be, like, on YouTube, be like, all right, the new battle is.
Exactly.
They used to have it posted, and then they had their little app with the Caffeine TV app where you can watch the battles on there.
Right.
And after a while, it was just kind of like.
You got to pay for every fucking thing.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah.
Don't get me wrong, it's cool.
Drop.
It's cool to pay for some stuff, but not everything. Like, come on, bro. Get a
exactly.
fan something.
Exactly.
But it's
that's
almost
why
like,
I kind of fuck with
know.
RBE because you ain't got to pay too much for RBE. Mm-hmm. You know, they drop their shit. Ill Will made his way up there. He's a little down.
Oh, yeah, definitely Ill Will. And you know what? I like when I started to listen to, like, Conceited's Battles, I was like, damn, bro, he's nice. Like, he was like, I'm just like.
Yeah, he was nice.
Before I knew he was on Wild and Out, I'm like, no, because he's nice. He ain't just
he's
talking
nice.
BS, you know what I'm saying? You know
right.
what I'm saying?
And then they started getting
and then
that
I
Nick,
somebody
that
else
Nick Cannon
that came out of retirement. Was I can't remember his name. Jay something. Damn, I can't think of his nigga name.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, he nice too.
Jay
and
something.
Speaking of Nick Cannon, I would like to say on Nick Cannon's behalf, I ain't going to lie. Nick Cannon has two albums I really fuck with hard. That Ike Turnup album, and then one of the albums he dropped in 2022 called it's like an R&B album, but it was cold. Like Nick Cannon was in his element. So when people say Nick Cannon can't rap or sing or whatever, that's a fucking lie. Nick Cannon can. I don't know what the fuck he was doing in the early days, but you know, since years passed, Nick Cannon be getting off low key. Like that R&B album he put out, the what the fuck is it? I downloaded it recently. It's called The Explicit Tape Raw and B. That shit is so cool.
I'm about to go listen to that because it was like, outside of his music, it was like he had to join with R. Kelly, and then after that, I was kind of like, all right, whatever, dude.
Yeah, but, you know, niggas look at him like, ah, you a clown. But nah, like, on some rapping.
But that
shit,
song was solid, though. That's what I'm saying.
Fun.
Like, that song was solid to me.
Tip,
that and the joint with B2K, like those are like for me as a DJ, it's like those songs are solid. Like, you know what I'm saying? Songs that you can play. Like, you can play certain parts of that in your set, and ain't nobody gonna be like, turn it off. It's like, nah, those songs are
good.
They fillers. They're good fillers.
Exactly. And in 2018, he dropped a track called "Only You" with Fat Joe and DJ Luke Nasty. Bro, that shit is so cold. I'm like, man, low key, people sleep on Nick Cannon. Nick Cannon's really sick, man. Like,
I mean, I'm not saying now. I'm just saying, like, for me as a businessman, I would really rock with him. You know what I'm saying? If I had a business plan and I was gonna be able to have somebody that was gone, you know what I'm saying? Help me with on the business plan situation. Oh, of course, I'm a rock with Nick Cannon because look what he did with Wildin' Out. He owned Nickelodeon. I think owned either VH1 or MTV. And like as a businessman, I'm a rock with him. I'm a rock with him for real because he knew how to get money. So on the money situation, on the business, I see why a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, rock with Nick Cannon because he know his business. And from what I heard and what I've seen, he ain't screwed nobody over. So it's like, hey, yeah, I'm going to rock with him.
Exactly. But, shit, we got like a minute left. What you want to say to the fans?
Man, honestly, man, I just appreciate y'all, man, continuously rocking with us. Like I said, man, I'm on this new venture of building this marketing department for OG Gang T. Yeah, man, I'm just on this new journey, man, you know, being engaged and on this new journey with about to have a kid. So, yeah, man, I'm in this new territory, man. I'm just trying to find my way through this little thing.
I couldn't wait for you to say that.
But, yeah, man, you know, I guess.
But, you know, we finally
have man,
our
yeah.
OG radio, baby, y'all, you know.
I know, man. We out here, man.
It was Genesis with her son, August. B-Trey had his baby. Now AK got a baby on the way.
All right, man. We expand.
Facts. I wanna give a huge shout out to Canada. Canada now has 54% listeners now. So Canada,
that's what's
they fucking with us right now. They are fucking with us heavy with OG Radio. So big shout out to Canada. And me and Genesis have a Puff and Poetry show coming up next month, May 18th. Of course, AKs will be the DJ. I'm the host along with Genesis. We're back with Puff and Poetry. So we expect a huge turnout. It's going to be great. DM me or Genesis if y'all have our social media. DM AK. He got information about it as well. So hit us up. We live, and I might even perform. I don't even know. Like, I might even, you know, perform one of my songs out here. I don't even know what I'm going to do yet, but I just might, just because. Speaking of that, I dropped my newest single, I can't sing for shit, but I did what I could. I made this track for my wife. It's called Running Back. I was listening to a song. I forgot the artist, but it's called Toxic. And, like, as I was listening to the song, a beat came to me. So I made the beat, and then I'm like, I told my wife, I'm like, hey, babe, send me a voice memo. Just, like, say whatever you want. And she just said some random – we have this thing with each other where we'll say, like, a booga booga, and it's, we put the ghost emoji, and it's just a thing. So she said, a booga booga, I love you. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to use that. And she ain't going to know that it's a hard track. So I used that for the little intro or whatever, and then I sung my song to her, and I added our daughter at the end saying that I love you. And she fucking cried tears of joy because she loved it. You know, I can't sing, but I did what I did. So that's my newest single. So
you
check out all of my music. You know, I made it work. So check out all my music on Apple Music. I drop on United Masters. So if you go to United Masters, you can see everything I dropped on there. But that was my latest track. But my top track so far is still with my homeboy K Vibes, Before I Let You Go, and Take You to the Moon. That was a track I released again this year. I'm not a rapper by any means, but I do rap. So people fuck with it, and that's just what it is. So follow your boy on Instagram. What the hell is my Instagram? I think it's Radio Rail 1290. I believe that's what my Instagram is. And then my Facebook, Terrell Radio Rail Redman. So follow me for any news and updates as far as OG Radio, what we got going on, myself, Genesis, AK. You know, I'm on here. Normally I'm on here Mondays and Tuesdays, but I'm trying to get back in the swing of things. So I did today's show. I'm trying to get back on my regular scheduled program Mondays and Tuesdays. Every other Thursdays with Genesis and Poetry. I don't know if we're going to do a show next Thursday, but I do know we have a live event May 18th. So DM me for that info, or Genesis or AK. You got anything coming up?
I already know Friday's the Top 10 Countdown and New Music Friday. So, I got some new joints coming from some artists this Friday. Definitely, you know, we definitely finna start doing logos for artists, man. So basically, OG Marketing is going to be doing a lot of great things. So we got a lot of things coming up for artists. So, you know, we almost a one-stop shop for y'all, man. So we trying to do, man, because I know marketing is hard for people to do. And, I done built a little website for it, too. So y'all check that out, too. And like I said, man, everything that y'all need to know about OG Radio is on the Instagram page, OG Radio, man. So see the new logos and anything else that's going on, man. Just connect with us, man. So we trying to help y'all artists build y'all brands. And I got something else coming up for y'all, too. I think I don't know if I'm going to be a judge in the contest or I'm going to be one of the guests on there or whatever. But shout out to my boy Sinatra's and Rock TV Radio. I think I'm doing something with Rock TV Radio or a part of one of the events. I'm going to have some more information probably Friday once I see what the whole situation is and what they send me or whatever's going on. But it is a contest coming up for some artists, and I will have information on that Friday. So I'm going to connect with my boy Sinatra to get all the info. And then once I have the info, I'm going to, you know, let y'all know if there's still slots for y'all to join this contest. It's not a showcase. It's a real big contest with some real big prizes. And they asked OG Radio to be, I guess, a part of that as far as the win, like whatever you get to win off of it, we are part of that. So I don't know if what we giving away. I know we are playing whoever wins, the top three people, I guess, we are going to play their music. I'm still working out what else we going, I guess, as far as us at OG Radio, what we're going to provide for the artists. But I'm at the, you know, have a talk with, you know, Sinatra's and Rock TV Radio and just see how much of a part they want us to be. So just be on the lookout for that, man. So probably got some things going on with Pound 92 and Rock TV Radio for us, man, just a collab. So, and oh, yeah, man, shout out to my Parlay team. Shout out to Kendall Gill, T-Lo, the whole Parlay crew, man. They had a great fight party. I couldn't make it because I had to actually saved the day at this club. That's all I'm going to say. I saved the day at this club because my cousin shot the DJ Will Trey. You know, I had to go help him DJ this party, man. And I thought it was going to be something basic, but it turned out to be something major. And like I said, man, I always pull through for him. But shout out to the Parlay team, man. They did a we did an amazing fight party event, man. And definitely glad to be a part of that team, man. And I'm glad that they continuously sponsor and support OG Radio, man. If you look at all their flyers, you look at their shows, man, our logo is on there. OG Radio is on there. And we are an official sponsor for Kendall Gill's Parlay Show. So, and, you know, and we support them too, so it's all love. But, like I said, that's all I got, man. I'm going to go ahead and let us get out of here, man. And, you know what I'm saying? We'll catch up with y'all when we catch up with y'all.
And the last thing I want to throw out, y'all, my 17-year-old son started rapping as of, like, last month. And when I say my son has bars, he has bars. So next week, last week he sent me a track that he made, and I'm like, yo, your pop's got to jump on it. So I jumped on it with him, and we got a track together. I'm proud because, you know, I live for shit like this, doing stuff with my children. And I had my son at a young age. I was 15 when I conceived him, 16 when he came into this world. And, you know, he's 17, I'm 33. We did a track together. And I'm going to hear on OG Radio. Y'all going to hear it first. Next Monday or Tuesday, I'm going to drop this track exclusively on OG Radio for me and my son. And the first two verses is all him, and I did, like, the last 40 seconds. And, like, my son is amazing. So he's been thinking about trying to take rap a little seriously. And, yo, my son Armani, shout out to you, Armani, he got it. I don't approve of his rap name. He got to get something new because I don't like his rap name is fucking weird. I don't like it. But he got some stuff that he's been throwing out on BandLab. I haven't put it out there yet on like anything major. But I'm thinking about putting it out there for Apple and Spotify and Tidal and YouTube and all that. But next week here on OG Radio, y'all gonna hear me and my son. Y'all gonna hear it here first, you know what I'm saying? He named it Hadouken. That has nothing to do with what the fuck we rapping about. But, yo, when I say this track right here is one of the ones, is one of the ones. So I'm going to definitely upload it and play it for y'all next Monday or Tuesday. So just be in tune with us. You know, I'm here Mondays and Tuesdays. I normally do shows at 9 o'clock. But my kids' bedtime is at 9, so I won't be in the house, so I changed to 10. So next Monday or Tuesday, I will, again, same time today, 10 o'clock to 11. And I'm definitely going to play that track. So, again, tune in with us, rock in with us, Monday, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays. You know, we doing it big. If you want your music played, hit us up. We'll get it going. You need marketing, hit up AK, hit up myself, and I will send you the AK. So with that being said, like I mentioned earlier, the track that I did for my wife, I'm going to play us out to that. Again, I'm not a singer, but I did it for my wife. My wife loved it. That's all that matters to me. It's your boy, Radio Railman, AK, and we are out. And this track right here is called Running Back by yours truly, Radio Rail. Good night, all.
Yeah. Good night.
I love you.